The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome back to the Small Biz Ahead podcast. I'm Elizabeth Larkin, the editor of Small Biz Ahead, and I'm here with Gene Marks.
I'm Gene Marks.
And you are?
I own the Marks Group, and I do a lot of writing all over, and I study small businesses and act as a small business person.
And tell us a little bit about the Marks Group, just for new listeners, because we have a bunch of new listeners now.
So we have 600 clients, 10 employees, a dozen or so contractors, and we sell sales and marketing technologies, mostly CRM applications, customer relationship management applications.
So you're out there talking to other small business owners. Your clients are small business owners.
Yes. So all of my clients, again, we have about 600 active ones. And I keep saying 600. I've been saying that for years, so it's more. And mostly are small and medium-sized businesses, usually in the Mid-Atlantic area, but quite a few elsewhere around the country. And so I am a small business owner. I sign paychecks every week, or at least I review a payroll. You know, it's all done
You're not writing
online
them up
now.
By hand?
Not writing them up by hand now. I pay bonuses. I have customers not pay me. I have suppliers and vendors
which drives you crazy.
Disappoint me all the time. I have headaches. And I've been doing this since 1994.
So you're right in the thick of it with our listeners.
I am a small business owner. I just write a lot about it. I'm also, I get up very early and write about all of my experiences as a business owner for a lot of other publications, but including The Hartford.
Yep.
But it's all from the aspects of a small business. That's my bread and butter.
Small business owner who's out there talking to small business owners.
Correct.
All the time.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
We're going to be back with our question about instituting a dress code at your small business right after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by The Hartford. When the unexpected strikes, The Hartford strikes back for over 1 million small business customers with property, liability, and workers' compensation insurance. Check out The Hartford Small Business Insurance at thehartford.com.
And we're back. Our question is from Marie H. from Mystic, Connecticut. Have you ever been to Mystic?
No, I've seen Mystic Pizza. You've been to Mystic, Connecticut.
I'm
sure it's supposed to be beautiful,
Mystic.
Right?
It is absolutely beautiful.
It's like the movie, isn't it? There's a whole seaport thing going on, lobster and the whole nine yards.
It's really beautiful. It's such a great place for like a long weekend trip. You should bring your wife there.
I would. It's actually, how do you get these? You have to drive. No trains.
You can take Amtrak.
Amtrak would go.
But then I think you would need to rent a car. So I just actually did this with two of my friends. We went to Mystic. We went to wineries. We went apple picking.
Wow.
We did. We had like some great meals. I'll actually put a link to some things you can do in Mystic in the show notes in case anyone's interested.
And for any of you listeners out there that really want to get to know Elizabeth and the travels that she does, her Instagram account, CT Day Trips,
I will put a link to my Instagram.
I follow
account.
Her on Instagram, and I love the posts that you make, including like whatever Mystic or Paris that you're posting photos from there as well.
And Paris,
I look at them all. They're great.
Okay, so we're going to start with Marie's question. She's a snack shop owner in Mystic. Okay, so just to set this up, her customers are interacting with her employees.
Yes.
It's not like they're behind the counter.
Yes.
Okay, so here's her question. I really don't care if my employees wear slacks, khakis, jeans, or sweats. Do I need to formalize my dress code? Are there reasons to do so other than discouraging inappropriate attire?
Mm.
I'm going to assume that she doesn't have a uniform, obviously.
Right.
Unless, because she's just focusing on pants, they do wear like a t-shirt. You wear a t-shirt and then you wear whatever you want as far as pants or skirts or whatever on the bottom. So how do you feel about dress codes?
So I struggle with this in my own business, Elizabeth, because at one point in time, for a few years, I was making all of our people wear Marks Group shirts. Like we had like button-down shirts
like
with our logo, like a Geek Squad looking shirt. And actually, I stopped doing it because I didn't like the image that it was presenting. We were coming off as the Geek Squad.
Yeah.
People were like, hey, while you're here, can you fix my printer? You know, or can you? It was not the image. Now, some companies use a uniform. Forget about dressing appropriately or not. Some companies like to use a uniform because it's a branding thing. It's an image thing. I mean, you know, airlines are a perfect example. And I got to tell you something. Once you see my wife and I were in LAX for a trip, and we had like a long layover, and we were sitting right near the area where all of the flight attendants for all the airlines would go to, like, it's like a sort of a locker room for them.
Mm-hmm.
And for like an hour, we were watching these flight attendants go in and out from all over the world, because it's LAX, was the international terminal. And it was pretty awesome. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, the way some of them dress, the ones from the Japanese airlines or the ones from, you know, the Middle Eastern airlines. And it was pretty cool. That's a branding thing. Like, that's really branding. Neat. Yep. And it really can make your company stand out and be very, very special. So it really depends if you want to do that. I actually think, though, that in a consumer-facing store, like a merchant store, a coffee shop, a snack shop like she's got, I think it's important to have your employees wear something that says that they're an employee of the store.
Yeah.
I think that even if it's just a badge, but there's nothing, I just hate going, everybody's made the mistake where you go up to like somebody shopping and you ask them for help because you think they work there.
Yeah.
Because all the employees are dressed the same way and you're like, okay, sorry, I feel like an idiot now. So I really think it's important for you. And that can just be a t-shirt. Again, it can be a name badge, you know, on you. It doesn't have to be anything outlandish.
Now, what about employees wearing sweatpants, though, or like yoga pants or leggings or something?
First of all, if you run a yoga store or a sporting goods store or whatever, it might be completely appropriate.
Yeah. But a snack shop owner?
Right. I think that there might be certain minimum dress codes. Now, she was just wondering if she should do it for her business. She's putting aside people dressing down.
Yeah.
The whole dressing down thing is absolutely, you know, an issue. But, you know, that's something you could just tell your employees. We would expect the minimum that you would come to dress, you know, dress somewhat professionally. No sweatpants, for example, or no shorts. But I think her question is more like, from a branding and marketing thing, should I consider my people wearing uniforms? Yes. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. And I think you see that if you go to any like vacation beachy area.
Yes.
People are usually have that like iconic like Mystic snack shop
shirt.
And then you can also sell those to your customers.
I agree. Which, by the way, another thing that annoys me, I love wearing shirts from businesses. Like, I think it's really funny. And the most boring, stupid, like if it's like Phil's Auto and Body Repair in, you know, Sausalito, California, I think that's funny. You know what I mean? I would wear it because I think it's funny. I like around town or like? Yeah, sure. I would like random people's like businesses. I think it's kind of funny. And I feel the same about restaurants. Like sometimes I'll go to like a restaurant and I'll be like, I want to buy a, I'm like, wow, this place is really cool and it's in a cool area. It'd be kind of cool to like have a shirt from here. But it doesn't – this is maybe getting off topic, but like when then the restaurant charges $25 to buy a t-shirt for their restaurant, I'm like, come on, dude. I'm like, you know, give it to me at least a cost. Yeah. I'm not saying you have to lose money on it, you know.
It's free advertising.
It's kind of free advertising. I'm wearing it around and it's like just as, you know, mark it up a dollar. But, you know, just sometimes I see store owners and merchants taking like super advantage of that, and that kind of annoys me. But anyway, getting back to definitely give it to your employees and let them wear your stuff around. It's cool. It's cool
now,
to be walking
what
around
do you that. Wear when you go out to clients? You don't wear your Sausalitos.
You're looking. Do you guys see what I'm wearing right now? I go dressed, and we all do. We dress professionally. It's usually like a business shirt and business.
Do you have that
trousers.
In your?
No, I don't have that as a requirement. Everybody that works for me pretty much. Knows. And the reason why is because we personify ourselves or position ourselves as we're a consulting firm. I mean, we're technology consulting. It's not like we're not fixing printers. We're trying to teach people how to use their marketing and sales software much better in the software that we sell. So it is a, sort of a professional approach. Now, for years, my horrible 9 years I spent at KPMG, but I love KPMG. I said it was horrible because I had to wear the full suit every day. And I hated that. So, and I still see some businesses, like financial services firm.
Yeah, I worked on Wall Street. You wore a suit every day.
You wore a suit every day. And occasionally I bump into a small firm, like a wealth management or investment, and they're wearing a suit. And I kind of get that. I mean, if that's what you want to do. I think it stinks, but, you know, maybe, you know, that's the kind of image that you want to show. And, you know, I get that.
It's an image thing. It's also kind of showing respect to your clients.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
You don't show up there looking like a homeless person, like landing in somebody's office and looking terrible or whatever. I mean, you're right. It's like an image thing and how you want to be.
That was mostly for the salespeople, though. The people on the trading floor were wearing like khakis, button downs, and then like a vest over, you know, like just really, really casual.
So getting the takeaway from this conversation is, you know, I think you should absolutely consider a uniform for your employees. If it's, first of all, if they're more customer facing and if it really dovetails into the brand that you want to portray, I think it's cool. I like that. And one final thing, I know you're about to say it, but like I have a client that's a roofing company, and you know, they've got 60, 70 people, and they the whole, you know, shirt and very professional. And it, I don't know, like when you have all these roofers come to your house, because I used them a few years ago for our house, you have a little bit of like, all right, they seem smart and consistent. I don't know. It just gives an image of professional. So it depends on your business and the branding.
That's also helpful because then your neighbors aren't like, who's breaking into
their house? Also true. Also true. Yeah.
Like, why are they up on ladders and going into the window?
That's exactly right. It seems a bit odd.
All right. We'll be right back with Gene's Word of Brilliance.
Do you want to start a business but don't know how to leverage your skills and strengths? Small Biz Ahead has you covered. Our new ebook, Opportunity Knocks, How to Find and Pursue a Business Idea That's Right for You, will help you determine the best markets for you to start a business in, how to set up a business based on your personality, and how to put your ideas into action with a solid business plan. Go to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to download your free copy today.
Okay, we're back with Gene's Word of Brilliance. Before he gets into that, though, I do want to mention that I'm going to link in the show notes to two articles that I think might be helpful for Marie or any other small business owner. One of them is called Top 10 Employee Dress Code Violations. And then another one that we just published is called You Can't Wear That, Dealing with an Employee Who Dresses Inappropriately. So that kind of touches on... if you're telling people like you can't wear sweatpants and you've got an employee who continually comes in wearing sweatpants, like kind of what to do about that. So, Gene, take it away with your word of brilliance.
You know, it's two words, okay? A lot of times we say it's okay. The word. It should be word.
Allowed.
With an S. Conference calls. Let's talk about conference calls for a second. There was a recent study that came out by a conference call provider. They're called loopup.com. And they surveyed 1,000 of their customers and they found that businesses lose $34 billion, still a big number, around the world in lost productivity because of bad conference calls. But I think it's a really good point. Conference call, we use conference calls all the time. I lost a client once on a conference call because we had a project going bad. This was like 6 years ago, 7 years ago, and I got on the phone, our team and their team, to talk about this project and why it was going bad. It was really going bad because of like the boss. And I said a few negative things about the boss on the call. And the boss was on the call. He was just, no one knew that he was on the call and did not take it well. And we got fired from the project.
Could you write about that furious. For Small Biz Ahead? We'd like to hear more about that.
I could share that story with you. It stunk. But okay, so I learned my lesson on that. One of the things I learned is you really want to make sure that you know who's on your conference call.
Yeah, that's but kind you of like still might. Like if you were the boss, you might just be like.
It's true. So you never are 100% certain. So you got to be very careful when you're on a conference call. You want to start and end conference calls on time because people are really, they're busy and they have their thing. And and I know everybody's got to say this, but I've got to say this as well. For God's sake, learn how to use the mute button on a conference. That drives everybody insane, you know, when you're on a call. And you don't have to use the conference calling's mute services. You can just your own mute on your phone.
Yeah.
Any background noise, it's, you know, it's crazy. And then you have to consider when there's like a remote employees. I mean, you got to be engaged on a conference call. I mean, you don't want to just sit there and not, you got to participate. You got to, you know, people know that kind of stuff. Conference calls are important and can be very costly to your company if you don't do them the right way.
So your tips are start on time.
Start on time. Try to make sure you know everybody that's on the call. But even if you don't, be very, very careful what you say. It's a public call. I learned that the hard way. Learn to use the mute button is very, very important. And one final thing, when you have a conference call, remember you've got three people on it or 10 people on it. I mean, they can turn into a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Have an agenda.
Yes.
And have one person should be in charge of the call, running the call. Like you come back to that person.
That's true.
It's like
for
a panel discussion.
Too. I wish that happened more often. You know what? The thing I hate about, and I actually love conference calls because I think it cuts down on a lot of like back and forth on emails.
It does.
But I hate when I'm like the first person to dial in. And then I have to have like
a little chit chat with whoever's moderating the call.
Like, how's the weather in Chicago?
Yeah, oh, that happens. I know. That's like so awkward.
I'm usually like, you know what? I'm just going to mute myself until the call starts because I just, you know, everyone hates it.
Yeah, can I tell you a secret? We're all happy that everybody mutes themselves.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's cool. But no one wants to be there. you know, particularly in that situation. So if you were to say to me, hey, Gina, I love you, but I'm going to mute until everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's cool with me.
I probably wouldn't do that with you because I know you.
Yeah.
So anyway, I really like it when everyone's like, okay, I'm just going to mute until everyone's here. And then you can kind of collect your thoughts and go forward.
Agreed.
So yes.
One final thing about a conference call, and then we can leave the topic, is I've learned that people that run conference calls well, they sum up the call with an email. Yeah. You know, emails are very good to like just confirm in writing what was accomplished on this call with next action. So there should be meetings. So this should be the same way, obviously. Yeah. And conference calls today are the same as a meeting.
Yes.
There's no – and for a virtual company like mine, they are our meetings.
Yeah.
So it's very important to follow up.
Okay. We'll be back in a couple days with another episode about bringing a customer-centric mindset to your business's culture.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.